This is Glenn Houser with World of Radio 1568. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded June 8th, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, China, Nan, Colombia, Ecuador, Europe, Georgia, India, Italy, Nan, Koreas, Libya, Nan, Netherlands, Pakistan, Portugal, South Carolina, Nan, Sudan, Nan, USA, Mystery Tone Tests, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. As of June 3rd, still no signals from LRA 36 Antarctica on 15476. Not only do I not hear them, but also checked and not heard by Ron Howard in California and Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in São Paulo, Brazil. That's as of June 3rd, but still missing on June 8th. We did, however, receive an explanation on June 3rd from Roberto Scaglione in Italy, who's in contact with someone in Argentina who phones the station to find out what's really going on. And here's why. He said, quite succinctly, only on FM these days, they again have troubles with power generators. If and when they do come back on shortwave, the old schedule was to sign on weekdays only somewhere around 1230 UT, but often later, and supposedly staying on until 1500, although before they disappeared, they were often going off well before then. A few weeks ago, we reported that Aussie Radio, the new low-power private shortwave station in New South Wales on 5050, had started broadcasting, of all things, Brother Stair. Now, in the June issue of Australian DX News, we learned that that only happened as an experiment for 2 days, apparently, the 11th and 12th of May. John O. Wright explains, we had a discussion about this programming with the owner, Craig Allen, who said that Brother Stair is a bit over the top. So he then went back to a format of music from the 80s enjoyed by many more listeners. And furthermore, Aussie Music Radio on both frequencies, 3210 and 5050, plans to go off the air for 6 months or so to relocate the transmitters. The silent period will commence at the end of June. The new location is believed to be closer to Penrith, P-E-N-R-I-T-H, instead of the present location of Schofields, S-C-H-O, Fields. Meanwhile, however, Ron Howard in California was getting above average reception of Aussie Radio, as well as Radio Simbon on 2368.5 on June 1st and 2nd. Both frequencies, in fact, of Aussie Radio, around 1300, 3210, and at 1335, 5050, when the co-channel station in China started to fade down. And furthermore, Ron was pleased to get a prompt EQSL from Craig Allen for Aussie Radio on 5050 kilohertz, saying we transmit with 400 watts with a dipole half-wave 10 meters off the ground. We are still testing, but plan to be a full-time broadcaster within a few months. Then on June 7th, Robin Harwood in Tasmania tells us Aussie Radio may have already gone off 3210, nothing heard lately, although they continue on 5050. We've had several reports this week of a station in the remote northern tip of Brazil, which means it's easier to hear, theoretically, everything else being equal, in North America and Europe. And we wonder if it's perhaps come back on the air since not reported much before this week. Each one has it on a slightly different measured frequency. It's Rádio Difusora Roraima in Boa Vista. Bob Wilkner in South Florida, 4878.5, he says, June 2nd at 0950 with a call-in program and time checks, but he did not get an ID. However, the next day, Dave Valco in Pennsylvania, Hardcore DX, found it on 4878.6 at midnight 38 to 0208 with mostly non-stop contemporary Brazilian pop music, an ad block, and a canned ID jingle at 0131 as Rádio Difusoras. Another probable ID jingle, but he couldn't copy. The modulation was too low. Then a report in the Condish list from Miguel Castellino in Argentina, 4878.5, a tentative, June 3rd at 0950 to 1010 UT, with commentary and songs in Portuguese. He thought it might have been inactive, or otherwise the propagation conditions were more favorable. And another report of it from Anke Petersen in Denmark via Pleiadex, 4878.61, on June 3rd and 4th, from 2300 to 2345. Again, he is presuming the ID. The carrier was on already at 2225 without audio. It remained quite weak with some slight CODAR interference. And one more from Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania, 4878.56 for Radiodifusora Roraima, June 8th, from 0310 to sign off at 0404. Local pop ballads and talk, some U.S. pop music as well. Closing announcements at sign off 0404. Earlier at 0115 to 0200, they had football coverage. In the Radio Escutas group, William View in Brazil reports that Radio Gazeta is being heard again on 9685. He says it was heard in the interior of Rio Grande do Sul. The signal was good, but the audio quality not so good as on 49 meters, where it's listed on 5955. The biggest signal from Brazil used to be Radio Nacional da Amazonia on 11780, rated 250 kilowatts, although running a bit less. But it's been difficult to hear lately. On June 5th at 0605, being a UT Sunday, it was on the air, as they stay on 24 hours on overnight, Saturday into Sunday only. Although it was registering 18 over 9, I realized that it was undermodulated, something new for them, no longer loud. A sure sign of some transmitter problems. Media Network blog points out that Victor Gunatilika in Sri Lanka has some new comments at dxasia.info titled Exit Deutsche Welle, Enter China Radio International. Deutsche Welle plans to close down the state-of-the-art Trincomalee relay station in Sri Lanka, and he fears that it may eventually fall into the hands of China Radio International. That's part of their strategy, according to Keith Perrone, to be prepared not only to buy time, but to buy, if possible, existing shortwave relay sites no longer needed by their originators. Meanwhile, as another part of CRI's strategy, they've added another U.S. city where they're relayed on an AM station. Kevin Redding in ABDX has news that it's WILD 1090 in Boston. After more than 40 years serving the African-American community, they still have a morning show called Music Safari, but the rest of the day, according to Boston Radio Watch, it's China Radio International in English. According to the NRC AM log, they are a 4.8 kilowatt non-directional daytimer, reducing to 1.9 kilowatts during critical hours, but not on the air through the night. Big clandestine news from Colombia. On his blog, Rafael Rodriguez in Bogota reports hearing a reactivation of La Voz de la Resistencia, the FARC clandestine, on 6070. The date not clear, it's either June 4th or 5th, heard from 1202 to 1258 UT, starting with the FARC anthem and revolutionary music-based programming, views on national events, war, and 47th anniversary greetings, a strong and clear signal. He says there had been no shortwave broadcasts from them since the beginning of 2004, when, according to Plan Colombia, the guerrillas withdrew to border areas and began to use FM transmissions. There was little detail of any schedule of upcoming broadcasts, but from one mention it seems to be operated by the Joint Command of the West. They said, and this is my translation, on the air, CRB, Bolivarian Radio Network, Voice of Resistance, broadcasting from the Andes, a corner of struggle for dignity and freedom. Rafael says he's surprised they're using an in-band frequency, 6070. These kinds of broadcasts are usually out of band. Previously in 2004, they were around 6239. Not expecting to hear it, I checked the next day on 6070 at 12 UT and sure enough did not hear it, just CFRX with presumed interference from North Korea. It may have been a one-shot only for their 47th anniversary. We can hope for a more amenable time and frequency if they continue. So far, no further reports of it from anyone else or from Rafael. His blog is dxdesdecolombia.blogspot.com. Here's another reactivated Latin American, but if the pattern holds with this one, it was just for a day or two, as they do every 2 or 3 months, and then they're gone again, apparently just to keep the transmitter in operation or to prove that they are still legally on the air. It's Radio Quito in Ecuador, 4918.994, as measured by Chuck Bolin in Florida, June 5th at 0935. Commonly rounded off to 4919, also reported by Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia, June 4th at 2320 to midnight 30, announcing their AM frequency only, 760. However, 24 hours later, they were missing again from 60 meters. During their brief reappearance, and you have to be quick to catch them, they were heard by a number of other DXers, including David Sharp in New South Wales, Australia. June 5th at 1012 on 4918.975, ID is Radio Quito, La Voz en Vivo de la Capital. It seems that more and more European pirates are showing up on what used to be known as the North American Pirate Band, between 6900 and 7000 kilohertz. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania heard Irish Music Radio very tentatively on 6930.03, June 4th at midnight 25 to 0140. And also at midnight 35 to 0140 on the same date, he was getting on 6945 Laser Hot Hits. Very tentative again, with a British accent and pop music. However, that has been confirmed by Chris Lobdell in Massachusetts. A possible pirate, British accent, 6945, the AM mode at 0115. Lots of static, but hard to ID, he says in the NASA group, and then follows up, I've been informed that Laser Hot Hits from the UK is now using 6945, replacing 4026, and the format fits, so I expect that is what I heard, and again, the following night at a weaker level. In BCDX, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports on 9535, June 1st at 0735, morning instrumental music, and talks in Abkhazian. At 0800 in Russian, ID is Gavrit Sukhumi, and news in Russian mainly about the death of their president and his burial on June 2nd. He says it's the first time heard since January 6th. Then also reported in BCDX and ADX by Herbert Meissner in Austria, June 2nd at 0715. No signal on their other frequency, 9495. Wolfgang Büschel says that one has been defunct for about a sesquiyear, and it was varying, not on the exact frequency, while 9535 is exact, heard at 0903 via a remote receiver in Ukraine, and he has his doubts that it's actually in Abkhazia or Georgia. Because the frequency is so well controlled, it could be in Armavir, Krasnodar, the Caucasus, Russia, with close ties to that site. NDX India, Joe Jacob says, some of the 60-meter band transmitters of All India Radio will be on the air much later than usual to cover live cricket matches between India and the West Indies, played in the West Indies on the following dates, June 11th and 13th until 2100 UT or whenever the game ends, and on June 16th up to around 2200. Unfortunately, I could not warn anyone in advance on the program, but last week World of Radio was missing from IRRS Saturday at 18 UT on 7290. We were told that was because of maintenance. That frequency was off the air all weekend, but would return this weekend with usual programming. However, in the meantime, I heard Brother Stair announce on WWCR and WWRB that he will soon be heard on 7290 via Northern Italy. The exact schedule not known. And Alfredo Quatroneo tells me that, for financial reasons, it may not be possible to continue broadcasting World of Radio on IRRS, but we're glad for whatever time we have left on that station, getting a good signal for us into Europe. Furthermore, NDX Mix News Bulgaria, Ivanov, thinks they have moved to a new country for their transmissions on 9510, still not certain where 7290 will be coming from between 18 and 19 UT on weekends. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio number 1568. Consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.com or worldofradio.org. Our thanks to Franklin Cyberling in Iowa for providing easy-to-remember redirects like that, and also for the latest issue of DX Listening Digest. If you just type in dxld.org or dxld.net, you'll go right to the latest issue. Your contributions always welcome via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com or a check or money order in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. On June 6th at 12:06 UT, I was hearing jamming on 6230, regular pulsing and tone and noise. Couldn't tell what was underneath it. But the Alki list, as of June 5th, says it's North Korean jamming on that frequency, which runs very long hours from 0651 to 2301 UT, although the only time there is something there to jam from South Korea is for 40 minutes each, starting at 0700 and 1200. Ron Howard in California also laments that the jamming on 6230 interferes with the Australian Weather West transmission from VMW. In Japan, S. Hasegawa calls it super strength jamming from North Korea, and he correlates the exact times it goes on and off on 6230 with the jamming on 6348. So presumably it has something to do with Voice of the People or Echo of Hope. On June 6th at 1412, I noticed good modulation for a change from the Voice of Africa from the Great Jamahiriya on 17725. The English broadcast, which lately had been nothing but a barely audible carrier and barely audible modulation. But the same old programming, not about what's going on now, but instead the African Union and 9999. Last week we mentioned that PSYOP transmissions for Libya were being heard again on 10404 USB, commonly referred to as Commando Solo, whether or not they're coming from an American plane. But a different frequency appeared, 10124.5 USB, even though it's in the ham band. Andrea Borgnino in Italy, via bclnews.it, reported he'd monitored it there and has some good recordings of the messages in English and other languages, also being jammed by Libya. This was as of June 6th. However, in the Media Network blog, Ehard Godin reported that they were back on 10404 as of June 7th at 11:40, and then jammed at 11:49, starting over in Arabic and English at 1200. Actually, 10404 was first heard back on the air on June 4th. In the Shortwave Sites group, Jan Ostervain, who really enjoys visiting transmitter sites and taking a lot of photos of them, went by Flevo in the Netherlands, which Radio Netherlands relinquished using several years ago for its own transmissions, and it's been off the air. But he was surprised to see some workers doing maintenance on the antennas, which are still up and not dismantled, although the transmitters were apparently moved out some time ago. We thought there would be nothing left there and no reason to maintain them, so he made further inquiries and reports as follows. I called the press office of Novec, which owns all the transmitter towers in the Netherlands, and they called back. The answer was a surprise. The work going on is maintenance, done by a specialized company called Alticom, a part of TDF, who owns, among others, the Wertachtel Germany and Issoudun France shortwave sites. The reason why they do maintenance on the towers is to keep them in perfect condition, because they are talking to a party that intends to use the site again for shortwave transmissions in the near future. It's not possible yet to reveal further details, but Keith Perrone says there are rumors that China Radio International is looking to take over another shortwave site in Europe. Meanwhile, more bad news concerning Radio Netherlands itself. According to their website, the Africa section, pointed out by Abhikesh Gupta, a story titled, Radio Netherlands Worldwide Changes Focus. If it meets with government approval, the reduction would be realized by winding down Dutch language activities and shortwave broadcasts by closing two stations in Bonaire and Madagascar. About 100 jobs will probably be lost in Hilversum and on those two islands. Director General Jan Hoek said they were reducing their budget from 46 to 36 mega euros. That is about 20%. However, that was quickly followed by another story. Radio Netherlands was surprised by unconfirmed reports that government cuts will leave the International Broadcasting Service with less than a quarter of its current budget. Jan Hoek said, if this is so, it appears decisions are being taken without due care. I can't imagine this happening. Kai Ludwig comments, the report emerged in Dutch domestic media that the government plans to leave only an annual budget of 10 million and cut the other almost 80%. If this turns out to be true, all earlier planning, including the latest focus change, are obsolete, and instead the question is just what little will remain of Radio Netherlands. A somewhat more optimistic outlook for Radio Pakistan. Aslam Javed in Lahore recounts how they cut back on various shortwave services, but then authorities at Radio Pakistan had second thoughts and decided to retain shortwave for the coming years, initiating a project of installing two 100-kilowatt shortwave transmitters at Karachi for the external service and a new shortwave transmitter at Islamabad. Now, Nepali, Sinhala, and Tamil language services have been resumed, and there are plans to resume Russian, Arabic, and Turkish. Also, Balti and Shina language broadcasts have been resumed. Azad Kashmir Radio Trakhal has been provided a new transmitter. Live audio of five channels is available on the Radio Pakistan website. The new shortwave transmitters at Karachi are at the final stages of installation. Shortwave broadcasting has gained new life in Pakistan. Last week, we reported that Radio Portugal had closed down its shortwave broadcasts, and so they did from their own site in Portugal. However, there are a few still on the air via the Sinush site, which is mainly used to relay Deutsche Welle. However, that one is also destined to be closed later on. The remaining schedule of Radio Portugal is from Monday through Friday, 0645 to 0800, 250 kilowatts on 11850. And on Saturday and Sunday, 0830 to 10 in DRM, 90 kilowatts on 11995. So reports Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal. Confirming our report last week of a transmitter site change for Radio Miraya from and back to Sudan, Ron Norton of Nexus IBA says, not via our transmitters anymore. They've been monitored on 11560 at 3 to 6 and 15710 at 14 to 17 UT. Their signal since June 1st is almost inaudible and very poorly modulated on both morning and afternoon slots. When heard on or near the target, their signal is very weak now and typically modulated at 60% or less, with severe hum, very typical of old Russian transmitters. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania heard the new frequency via Ukraine of Radio Miraya, 11560, June 7th, with an ID at 0400 and then some English news for 10 minutes. Weak but readable, but deteriorating to very weak by 0415 and only a threshold signal the next day. There's been a lot of press about U.S. international broadcasting this week, notably the Voice of America. No time to go into much detail here, but it is discussed in the new issue of DX Listening Digest, number 11-23. Some of the headlines, a story at boingboing.com, Voice of America plans sunset for shortwave radio broadcasts. And in the New York Times, a new Voice of America for the age of Twitter, digital retooling of VOA faces political hurdles. And yet another one, Mendes Report shines light on BBG technical operations. It appeared in Radio World Online via Alokesh Gupta. Hella Dale wrote another opinion piece for the Heritage Foundation, support continued Voice of America broadcasting to China. The June edition of WWCR's program guide shows the DX block resuming on Saturday nights, including World of Radio at its former time of 0230 UT Sundays, now on 4840. But it did not appear on the first Saturday night in June. Let's hope they still plan to bring us back, along with WaveScan with Adrian Peterson, replacing the defunct DX party line just before us at 0200. WaveScan did appear for the first time on WWCR at another new time, Saturday at 16:30, following World of Radio on 12160. WINB had been missing since May 25th, but back on the air with no explanation as of June 2nd on 13570 in the mornings, also 9265 at certain times, but still with a large break. Weekdays from 1315 to 1900 off the air. Transmitter 3 of WTWW was missing again for a few days from 12100. Nothing heard it. A number of checks starting on Sunday, June 5th. George McClintock explains what happened. High winds of 60 miles per hour blew a tree down across the rhombic antenna for that frequency, putting them off the air. But they were back on by June 8th. We're sorry to hear of the death of Terry Klasek, K-L-A-S-E-K. Eric Buneman writes about him in the June Masswood Journal, a noted DXer who lived in the St. Louis area. He reported to many DX bulletins in the 70s and 80s and led the St. Louis International DXers, Sly DX, editing and publishing the club bulletin called The Gridley Wave. It featured DX logs and news, but what made it stand out from the others was DX humor, much of it written under the pseudonym of Alotto Crapolo. One of the most poignant articles Klasek ever penned was his column, The World According to Klasek, about DXer priorities, telling the sad story of DXer Richard Pistek, who committed suicide in 1980. But Terry Klasek died on April 26th, memorials to the USO. During the first week in June, we've heard a number of mysterious tests on shortwave frequencies at a variety of times between 12 and 20 UT, a different frequency every day, so what I say is probably not repeatable. They run sometimes open carrier, mostly a continuous 1,000 hertz tone, and sometimes music which appears to be Balkan or more precisely Croatian. The frequencies involved so far have been 15100, 15445, 15480, 17480, 17600, and 17870. The Croatian leads some of us to suspect the RIZ transmitter company in Zagreb is testing a new transmitter, but reception in Europe indicates it's somewhere else, perhaps some African or Middle Eastern country where they're installing a new transmitter. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued June 7th. A coronal mass ejection was heading almost toward Earth, leading to a prediction of A and K indices of 35 and 6 on June 9th, but down to 5 and 2 by June 13th, a lesser peak of 15 and 3 on June 24th and 25th, while solar flux would peak at 100 on the 13th and 14th, then down to 92, back up to 115 on June 28th. And that's World of Radio number 1568. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.